Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We were praying for the God of glory to appear. I get the sense he's already appeared. I think he's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming as the God of glory tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight, our fellowship on evening session 6. And let's read the overall title of the evening line.
Amen.
First, knowing, seeing, and gaining God in an age of godlessness. In tonight's message, seeing and gaining God. Hallelujah. Seeing and gaining God. So tonight, this is our fellowship about seeing God and gaining God. We're going to see that if we see God, to see God means to gain God. To gain God, we need to see God. So we're just going to look at several instances from the Old Testament, and we're going to supplement them with New Testament verses about ones who have seen and gained God.
Amen.
And we want to be those. In this day and in this age, we want to be those who can say, I know God.
Amen.
We're going to say, I know there is a God.
Amen.
So, Brother Randy Pastor, who was here the other night sharing, I was fellowshipping with him, and he pointed out that two states, Mississippi and Arkansas, when they were asked in a survey, how many of you believe absolutely without a doubt there is a God? 80% in these two states. Actually, 80% in Arkansas, 82% in Mississippi. Said, without a doubt, there is a God.
Amen.
Now, when you ask the same survey on the East Coast or the West Coast, 30%.
Wow.
That shows how the enemy is using the quote wisdom of this world, because that's where the wisdom quote of the world is, right? New York City, up and down the East Coast, California, L.A., Berkeley, that's where the quote wisdom of the world is. And so 30%, but with these two states, 80%. How about here? How many here believe absolutely there is a God?
Amen.
Hallelujah! 100%! Praise the Lord! We get an A++.
Hallelujah!
Amen. We really need to know that there is a God. Because the world more and more is attacking the principles of the Bible. The principles of who the Lord is. That's why it was so good the other night to see all the attributes of God. We need to know who and what our God is.
Amen.
That's why it was so good last night to see we need to eat our way into the Lord.
Amen.
You know, eating is the way.
Amen.
So tonight, we're going to see more about what it means to know God. Now I'm going to read a footnote here from Job. One of the verses we're going to look at. Let's just read Roman number 1. Lord Job answered Jehovah and said, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but my eye has seen you. Amen. Amen. So this is a footnote on that verse. In the New Testament sense, seeing God equals gaining God. So if we see God, we've gained God. That doesn't mean we've heard about God, but we've seen God. To gain God is to receive God in His element, in His life, and in His nature, that we may be constituted with God. All God's redeemed, regenerated, sanctified, transformed, conformed, and glorified people will see God's face. In Revelation 22:4, they see His face. So in New Jerusalem, we see God's face. So seeing God transforms us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, verse we're all well familiar with, but I'm going to read it here. But we all, with unveiled face, Amen. Beholding and reflecting, Amen. Like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, Amen. Are being transformed into the same image, Amen. From glory to glory, Amen. Even as from the Lord Spirit. Amen. So transformed from glory to glory. So as we're beholding the Lord, as we behold Him, something happens. And we're going to see a little bit later on, as Moses was beholding the Lord, eventually his face shone. But why did his face shine? Because something of God got transfused into him. Amen. He was beholding God and he reflected God. Amen. So even in the Old Testament, there are ones who behold and reflected God. And there have been a number of some testimonies this week of ones who said they were somewhere singing or doing something, and someone, a bystander said, "You just shined." Why? Because they were beholding God. Yeah. But when we're enjoying the Lord, something about us just shines. Amen. So we need to be those beholding and reflecting the Lord. Amen. And in Ephesians, in chapter 3, 16, 17, 18, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened, Amen. With power through His Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make His home in your hearts through faith. Amen. So that's gaining God. Yeah. That's the element of God being transfused, transmitted, infused, dispensed into us. So as we are beholding the Lord, enjoying the Lord, our spirit is being strengthened, something of the Lord gets into us, and we're rooted and grounded in Him. Amen. So this is really what it means to gain God. That something of the Lord gets put into us as we enjoy Him, as we eat Him, something of Christ, His very element gets into us. Amen. So as we see Him, the element of the Lord enters into us because we're open to Him. And hallelujah, old element is discharged. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you have an old element you want to get discharged?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes. So the new element comes in, the old element goes out. How many of you have ever had a chance to go through the petrified forest? A decent number. How many of you have ever seen the petrified wood? That's a much bigger number. And of course, you know the story of petrified wood is it originally was really a piece of wood. But it was in a flowing river over a period of time. And along with some heat and some pressure and time, all the minerals in that river replaced all the element that was originally in the wood. And it still looks like wood. You can see the rings in it, the bark is there, but it's now mineral. It is no longer a piece of wood. That's that's a beautiful picture of transformation. You know, we're just in a river. We're just in a river day by day, moment by moment. And this river is just dispensing itself into us and leaving the element of God in there, but at the same time it carries away the old element, the wood element. That's what happened to that petrified wood. The wood element got carried away. But the element of the minerals in the water got deposited. So this is how the Lord works in us. He deposits Himself in us as we enjoy Him moment by moment, day by day. So it's a metabolic process. In Romans 12:2, do not be fashioned according to this age. We've talked a lot about this age, right? There are many ways to be fashioned according to it. We need to be those not fashioned according to the age, not wasting our time on video games, movies, all the other things that can waste our time, not staying up late and sleeping in late, right? Strong amen?
Yes.
Another strong amen?
Amen.
Okay, hallelujah. Not staying up late, not sleeping in late, but going to bed at a reasonable time, maybe by 11 o'clock, getting up at a reasonable time, maybe 6 o'clock.
Hallelujah!
Amen. At least that's my schedule. Maybe I make it by 11:30, but I still get up at 6. So we need to have a schedule that allows the Lord to be constituted into us.
Amen.
And not be those wasting time.
Amen.
So to see God is to be transformed into the glorious image of Christ, the God-man. Hallelujah, Christ the God-man.
Amen.
That we may express God in His life and represent Him in His authority.
Amen.
So the Lord wants ones that can express Him and represent Him in His life and in His authority. And we need to be those, beholding the Lord.
Yeah.
Spending time with the Lord. Seeing who He is. Because we have a lot of old element that needs to be washed away.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about Job. Job is an interesting book. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the old element of Job that needed to be washed away.
Amen.
It happens that the old element of Job is what most people would call a good thing. You know, Job was there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright. And he feared God and turned away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a great many servants. And this man was greater than all the sons of the east. And so this is Job, a very upright man, a righteous man. Some would say all his possessions were because of his uprightness that God had blessed him. And this is what the religious mind says. You know, we would think this is a great person. But we're going to see God's economy is not fulfilled through this man. It's not fulfilled through his own righteousness. So, now let's look at verse 6. I turned too many pages. Here we go. Then one day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, Satan also came among them. And Jehovah said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered Jehovah and said, "From roving the earth and going about in it." And Jehovah said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on earth, a perfect and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, "Does Job fear God without cause? Have you not set a hedge about him and his household and all that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his possessions are spread throughout the land. But stretch forth your hand to touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And Jehovah said to Satan, "Here is all that he has in your hand. Only do not stretch forth your hand against him." So here, well, think about this for a minute. Here's this perfect, supposedly, seemingly, right, perfect, upright man. Even the Lord says he's upright.
Right.
And Satan says, "Yeah, but touch him and he'll curse you."
Right.
So the Lord says, "Okay, go ahead." And so here's what happens. Verses 20 to 22. I'm not going to read all the verses, but basically, calamity upon calamity upon calamity came.
Yeah.
He lost his donkeys, his servants, all of his possessions, including his children, died in calamities. All of these calamities touched all of his possessions, his cattle, his camels, all of his possessions, and. So verse 20, then Job rose up and tore his clothes and shaved his head and fell to the earth and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I will return there. Jehovah gives and Jehovah takes away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah." In all this, Job did not sin, nor did he lay a charge against with God with unseemliness. So he didn't sin. Job did not curse God. He stood the test, so it seems. Actually, he stood the test. More than so, it seems. He stood the test. But still, God is not getting what God wants out of Job.
Right.
And we're going to see why. Okay, because the righteous, the normal human mind says, oh, he's a good guy. Why did all this stuff happen to him? Did you ever see a situation you kind of wondered, why did that happen? That's really a great person. Why did that happen? We saw earlier in the week, God is sovereign. And God has a purpose. God has a purpose in everything he does. And he has a purpose for everyone. And he wants everyone to fulfill that purpose. So he will bring and arrange circumstances. So eventually, as we were going to see, Job eventually saw God. Eventually, Job saw God. So we're going to look at a few more verses here and just see the process the Lord took Job through. But our own self-righteousness, our own good works, do not please God. They don't express God. They do not represent his authority. Basically, they express us. They express our self-righteousness, our strong will, our self-determination, but they don't express God. Job's time was in the time of about the same time as Abraham, about 2,000 years before Christ. They were at about the same time frame. But here's what's happening. Here's what's happening with Job. And so now, chapter 2. Then one day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, Satan also came among them to present himself before Jehovah. So here, Satan comes again. You wonder, why is he coming to God? Well, isn't he called the accuser of the brethren?
Yeah.
Right? That's one of his names, the accuser of the brethren. That's why we have the blood of Christ. Because Satan is all the time trying to accuse us. He's even trying to accuse Job, who seemingly was upright. But we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jehovah said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered Jehovah and said, from roving the earth and going about in it. And Jehovah said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil and still holds fast his integrity. Though you have moved me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan answered Jehovah and said, skin for skin. Indeed, and all that a man has he will give for the sake of his life. But stretch forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And Jehovah said to Satan, here he is in your hand, only spare his life. So again, why? You know, you think, why? But the Lord has a purpose.
Yeah.
The Lord has a purpose. He's sovereign. He has a purpose. So, and Satan went forth from Jehovah's presence and struck Job with severe boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd with which to scrape himself, and he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. So his wife was no longer helpful. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks.
Wow.
Should we receive the good from God and not receive the ill? Wow. And all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Wow.
So he was clear.
Yeah.
He was clear. He did not sin. He said, we receive the good, we receive the ill from God.
Wow.
So now, this goes on from chapters 3 to 37. And basically what happens is Job's three friends, they were basically as helpful as his wife was. They come and they have debates. They have three or four rounds of debates from chapters 3 to 37. Job and his three friends debating. And there's another one in the background, the fourth one, Elihu, who was a little bit younger than the other three. And eventually he pipes up and says, "Well, you all haven't figured it out, so I'll tell you what the real answer is." But eventually, we'll get there in a moment. So Job is really trying to investigate why this happened. Obviously, he's puzzled. You know, I've done everything right. I've been right before the Lord. I haven't sinned. Yet I've got everything's been destroyed, and I'm full of boils. And my friends are accusing me of being unrighteousness. They just say again and again, "Just admit you did something wrong. Just admit it and get over with it. Get it over with and go on." And he kept saying, "No, I haven't. I have not done anything wrong." So he keeps defending himself. Now, see, Job is defending himself. He's not in all these verses. We're going to look at a few of them, and we're sharing this to realize, so we would realize, the natural man does not satisfy God. Our goodness, our concepts. We have concepts that good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. Well, right. Sometimes, but sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes you wonder, why is that person so well off and I'm not? Or someone else is not. Why? God is sovereign. God, He knows. He knows what He's doing. He's working in everybody's heart, in everybody's situation, for His purpose. Amen. All things work together for good. For God's purpose. Amen. For God's purpose, and for our entering into His purpose. Not for good for us to get a nice job, a new car, a great boat. But rather, if it was in Pakistan, when I do go to Pakistan, I would say not to get a great motorcycle. That resonates with Pakistan, a motorcycle. But here it's going to be a house or a car or a boat. But we're not here for those worldly things. And sometimes we have them, sometimes we don't. But the Lord operates to operate His purpose, His divine purpose, His divine will, so that we would be those who eventually, ultimately express Him. But for that to happen, we need to be reduced. So we're seeing Job is being reduced. Job, who has a very high opinion of himself, and we're going to see that, is being reduced so he can see God and then express God. So all through our life, the Lord is reducing us. We wonder, why did that happen? It's for the Lord to reduce us. Why did this happen to Job? Job needed to be reduced. In his righteousness, he was not expressing God. He was expressing his righteousness, but not God. So in flip forward to chapter 12 now. Then Job answered and said, this is the second round of debates. "Surely then you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. I also have understanding as you do. I am not inferior to you." That's Job's comment to his three friends. "I am not inferior to you. And who does not know these things, like these things? I have become a laughingstock to my friends, I who have called out to God, and He answers me. The righteous man, the perfect man, is a laughingstock." So Job is looking at himself, realizes he's become a laughingstock. And yet at the same time he says, "I'm not inferior to you." So he's boasting in his self-righteousness. He's not boasting in God. He's boasting in who he is. Then chapter 13. Again, indeed my eye has seen all this, my ear has heard and understand it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. So he is continuing to defend himself, you know, in front of all his friends. And he's really investigating. He just cannot understand. He really can't understand why this happened. So he's investigating. And what we need to really understand, one thing is we need to, in a sense, look at this in the light of the whole Bible. See, the Lord put man in front of the tree of life. And God wanted man to take the tree of life. Amen. So that man, that God could be dispensed into man, and man could represent God. Amen. But instead, man took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So where's Job living? He's living in the tree of the knowledge of good. He's living in the tree of the knowledge of good. The tree of the knowledge of good does not express God either. Amen. And basically, up to the time of Noah, man became totally evil. And we saw that the other day. I'm not going to go into all of that. But God brought in a flood to destroy humanity, except and save Noah's family. And then after that, man rebelled again and became utterly rebellious at the Tower of Babel. So God at this point gave up the created race and called Abraham in the called race. Because God wants people to represent him. Now I'm going to mention this again, but isn't it interesting? Abraham and Job are at about the same time. Job is a righteous person, right? Abraham's an idol worshiper. Who does God appear to and call? The idol worshiper. He didn't appear to Job and say, wow, here's this perfect person, I'm going to call him. And make him the called race. No, he calls an idol worshiper and appears to an idol worshiper as the God of glory. And then the idol worshiper becomes the called race. So it's God's appearing. So let's go to chapter 23 now. We'll look at a few more verses here. Then Job answered and said, today also my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavy because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case in order before him. But he's arguing with God. He's saying, I would tell God why I am right. Why this should not have happened to me. And would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me. And I would understand what he would speak to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No. But he would give heed to me. Now, think about this for a minute. Job saying, God will give heed to me. This is a really, really bold. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but do not perceive him. To the left where he acts, but I cannot look on him. He hides himself on the right, so I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. Should he try me, I would come forth as gold. Does this person still need to be reduced? He's arguing with God here. And unfortunately, we have the same concepts. We have the same thought process. Oh, if I'm good, God will bless me. If I'm bad, God will punish me. No, if we make a lot of mistakes, yes, we'll suffer consequences. But if we're good, it doesn't mean we won't get a lot of dealings to reduce us. Just like Job got dealings to reduce him. So we don't want to be those who are trying to argue or justify ourselves before God. Amen. Okay, now chapter 38, verses 1 to 4. finally, some light comes into the picture. Then Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a mighty man, for I will ask of you, and you shall inform me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Now the Lord is speaking to Job. And basically, he tells him, he asks him, "Where were you when I made the animals? What do you know about the animals? What do you know about the universe? What do you know about yourself?" Mm-hmm. So he goes down all these areas, mm-hmm, and just basically totally exposes Job. And so this is what you know. This is what the Lord is doing. He is reducing Job to the point, and now we come back to Roman numeral 1. Then Job answered Jehovah, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now my eye has seen you."
Amen.
So this, but Job, look at the process Job had to go through to be reduced. And a lot of things happened to Job that were not, you know, that you would say, why'd that happen to a righteous man? But in fact, it was the Lord's plan to reduce Job so Job could see God. So we need to be aware, we need to have our concept renewed that we aren't those who all the time, "Oh, why did that happen to so and so? He must have a problem." No, the Lord is sovereign in all the situations. So we just need to trust God has a purpose. Everything he does with a purpose.
Amen.
He wants someone who knows God in a personal, subjective way. See, Job up till this point only knew God in an objective way. Mm. He knew about God. Now he's knowing who God is. And this is what it takes for the Lord to have what he wants on the earth. He needs people that know him in a precious subjective way.
Wow.
Not who argue with God.
Wow.
Not who fight God. Wow. Not who try to reason why God is doing what God is. God is doing what God is doing because God is God.
Amen.
God is God. We need to settle that. God is God. And he's doing what he's doing for his purpose. So we need to be those who just say, "Amen, Lord. I just want to be in the middle of your purpose. Lord, I don't want to drag it out by my own self-righteousness." But Job drug it out.
Wow.
He drug it out. So Job was very high-minded. And Satan has put it into the thoughts of people today that they're equal with God. See, Job was high-minded. I mean, when he says, "Try me, I'll come out like gold." So Job was high-minded. Today, the people, the professors, so many in various positions of authority or in schools and whatnot are so high-minded, they think they're equal with God or there is no God. And so this is what we're fighting today. We need to be so certain that there is a God. There is a God. So let's read point A. Job was a person who knew God only in the vain knowledge inherited from tradition, such as altogether objective. Job did not understand how much God could be to him. Job did not know how much God could be to him. He just thought, "I just need to argue with God." So he did not have this objective knowledge. But eventually he said, in verse 6, "I abhor myself." Eventually he realized, wow, I've been arguing in a vain way. So hey, let's read B together. God appeared to Job in order to help him realize that God is unlimited, unsearchable, and untraceable. God is unlimited, unsearchable, untraceable. You know, where was Job when all these things happened? When the Lord laid the foundations of the earth, created the animals, made Job. Where was Job? You know, who is Job to argue with God like this? So we need to be those who do not try to be presumptuous. And let's look at Romans 11, 33 to 36. Somebody gets it, read it. Amen.
Who has helped the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor?
Amen.
Or who has first given to him and it will be repaid to him?
Amen. Right.
Things
to him. Glory forever and ever. Amen. This is our God. This is our God. And we need to settle it that all of our situations, all of our circumstances that we have and come across, our God is in control of them. He's operating them for his purpose, just like he did with Job, to reduce Job to the point where Job could say, "Now I have seen God." Actually, in the end, not to say that it's always this way, but in the end, Job had more than he lost. But he had more, but he had God. That's the difference. He had God.
Yeah.
So some of the physical things, the Lord took care of those, but he had God. And he lost his self-righteousness.
Amen.
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 So let's read C together. In Job 42:5, Job said, "I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you." This indicates that Job gained God in his personal experience, in addition to knowing God in his vain knowledge by tradition. We need to be those who receive God in a personal experience. And that has to happen day by day. Not just one time. But day by day, we need to receive God and know God in our personal experience. Okay. Sisters, read one.
In the New Testament sense, seeing God equals gaining God.
Amen. So we already covered this in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, two. Brothers.
To gain God is to receive God in his element, in his life, and in his nature, that we may be constituted with God.
Amen. Constituted with God. This is what God wants. He doesn't want us to just know about him. He wants us to be constituted with him. And it's so easy to just know about him. We may think, "Oh, I'm a good young person. I go to all the meetings, and I'm getting better and doing this and that." And all of a sudden, some type of calamity comes, and you think, "Why did this happen? I'm a good brother in a church life, or a good sister in a church life." Well, it's God. It's God. When you acknowledge it, it is God. Not complain about it. Not argue about it like Job did. It is God reducing us so we can know him. So we can come to him. So we can he can transmit himself into us. Okay, all together on three. The condition for seeing God is having a pure heart. A heart that desires only God and is focused on God. A heart that is for nothing else in the universe except God.
Amen.
Nothing else in the universe except God.
Amen.
Can you say your heart is only for God? Thank you for being honest. Amen. But this is what the Lord wants. The Lord wants our heart to only be for God. Not God plus a good internship. Not God plus good grades. Not God plus a good career. Now, it's possible you might have a good career. But it's because God is first. God comes, God comes first. Do we put God first? He may give us a good career. He may not. It's up to Him. It's up to Him. But we need to have a pure heart seeking only the Lord. Amen. And nothing but the Lord. So a heart that desires only God. Or is it to be, or is our heart, I want God, but I want to be good. I want the brothers to know, or the sister to know, that I'm a good brother or a good sister. That also could be in our heart. So we don't want to, you know, and in the church life, that's a danger. That's a danger in the church life. You know, we want to be respected, we want to be liked, we want to be admired. Not saying that's not shouldn't happen, but we need to be those seeking God, not these other things. Not personal appreciation. We need to be those who seek only God.
Amen.
Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 2. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. He was in Mesopotamia. Amen. So the Lord appeared. The God of glory
Amen.
Appeared to Abraham. The God of glory. Now remember I mentioned earlier, Job. Why would God not have chosen Job? I don't know. God is God. By the time he was reduced, why didn't he choose him? I don't know. God is God. But he chose an idol worshiper to show us it's all according to his appearing.
Right.
It's not according to our righteousness, not according to our work. As Paul said, it's not according to those that run, but according to his grace. So he appeared to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. And Abraham, his father had to take him halfway out. He didn't have. Actually, the Lord appeared to Abraham about 7 different times. He's not the giant of faith we seem to think he is. He had some major failures. But always, God, when God appeared, Abraham responded. When God appeared, Abraham responded. So we need to be those who have the appearing of God. God is appearing. We need the Lord, I need your appearing. You know, it's the Lord's appearing that gave Abraham the faith. You know, in my own life, just look back, I can see how often the Lord appeared, even until I finally actually came to know Him.
Amen.
Before I came to know Him, I realized He appeared a number of times. Actually, when I was in grade school, and my family were not believing Christians. They were good moral people. They dropped me off to Sunday school every Sunday, but they didn't go. but they were moral people. They would go to church on Christmas and Easter, like many good moral people in this country do. But there was somebody living down the street who was a believer. And that person spent a little bit of time with my mother. So the Lord was appearing to my family. Now, I found this out many, many, many years later. Probably 50 years or more later that this situation. I was in Austin, Texas, and a sister came up to me and said, they asked if I lived at such a place when I was growing up, and I said, yes. And it turned out this sister was the daughter of that mother who came to talk to my mom. That's God's appearing.
Wow.
I didn't even know about it. And she said, you know, all I remember is Kenny Mooney in his baseball glove. And I thought, sister, I thank you, that's all you remember. You know, we weren't a bad group of kids. We were a little mischievous at times. But that was the Lord's appearing. The Lord's appearing. And later on, the Lord appeared when my family moved to another part outside of Philadelphia, in a rural place, and there was a Christian family living down the street. And they invited me to a Christian camp. And the son who was, he said, we just go there every year, this Christian camp every year. And we just, this is a good way to get refreshed before you go off to school. And I was heading into my freshman year of college. And I said, yeah, and they were good friends. I liked them. They had horses, they had a swimming pool, they had a tennis court. You know, they were good friends. Good friends. So why not go with them? Why not go away with them for a week? So we went away and I spent most of that week fishing or playing baseball. But I went to a couple of meetings, just one or two meetings that they had there. But I went back the next year. Guess what? Less fishing, less baseball, more meetings. You know, God's appearing. I didn't know he was appearing. He was just appearing. So I get ready to go back the third year. Do you know what my heart was in going back the third year? I'm going to go to get saved. That was my heart that year. Wow. I'm going to go to get saved. And I did.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'd heard enough. The Lord had appeared to me enough. I was going back again.
Yeah.
And during that week, I was sitting around with a group of young people. And they were talking about the Lord. And I all of a sudden, I had this stark reality hit me. They know him. I know about him. It was very clear. They know who he is. They know him personally. I just know about him as a historical figure. I was like Job, just not as righteous. So later in the week, someone was preaching the gospel at a campfire on the lake up in New Hampshire. And we were at a campus at a lake. And I was really, my heart was touched and tugged. And they were basically an altar call, come forward to receive the Lord. And I was wrestling with the Lord, just wrestling with the Lord. So as I was wrestling with the Lord on the way back to my cabin, in between the pine trees, I said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life.
Amen.
That was my salvation prayer. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life.
Amen.
That was the Lord. So the history of the Lord is appearing to me up to my salvation. And I can't remember if it was that year or the next year when I went back. I went back one more year. And actually, when I went back, I was talking with the group. And in the end, someone said, Ken, what happened to you? They could tell. All of a sudden, I'd gotten the life of the Lord in me. And I said, wow. I got saved last year. He says, yeah, I can tell. So, you know, something happens when Christ gets into us.
Amen.
You know, he makes a difference.
Amen.
Well, about that time, some of Watchmen, these books were put in my hands also. This was, we're talking 1967 here. Yet still, this person, somebody at that camp had the normal Christian life, and I think sit, walk, stand. And got these books put into my hand early on. So that was the continuation of God's appearing. But the Lord appears to us moment by moment, day by day, in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of situations and things. So we need to be those open to the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
And it's his appearing that gives us faith. It was his appearing that caused me to want to go back to get saved.
Amen.
You know, I didn't really know what getting saved was about, but I knew it was a good thing.
Yeah.
So this is the way the Lord appears to us.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read A. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. His glory was a great attraction to Abraham. It separated, sanctified him from the world unto God. And it was a great encouragement and strength which enabled him to follow God. So the appearing, brothers and sisters, is the appearing that enables us to follow God. I didn't follow God because I determined I was going to follow God. Just God appeared. The ones had been praying for me up to that point. And eventually I found out who some of them were. So I guarantee you, ones are praying for you. And you're here tonight because God has appeared to you.
Amen.
It's the only reason you're here in this training is the appearing of God.
Amen.
Here, let's read B together.
The principle
is the same with us today. We have all have been caught by the Lord in His glory, because we were called by the glory of God our Savior. We eventually receive the Lord Jesus, realizing that He is better than anything or anyone else. He is better than anything or anyone else.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This has become so clear to us in 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own, glory and virtue. So brothers and sisters, we're here because we've been called by the Lord's glory and virtue.
Amen.
And just consider your situation. We consider, Lord, show me. Show me, Lord, where the times You've appeared to me and called me on. And of course, I can point to many, many more times. You don't have time to talk about them. But many times the Lord called me forward and called me on. So we're called by His glory, called by His appearing, strengthened by His appearing, and able to go forward by His appearing. It's not us; it's His appearing.
Amen.
That's what enabled Abraham to go on. Every time he would fail, God would appear. Amen. I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure God appeared after his successes. I think He appeared, for the most part, when Abraham was either neutral or maybe not such a good situation. God appears.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read C together. To be attracted to the God of glory means that God transfused Himself into His called ones without their realizing it. Once God has transfused Himself into us, we cannot escape. We must believe in Him. Isn't that an awesome statement? His glory is attracting. His glory is the attracting one. Hebrews 12:2. You know, He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter.
Amen.
He starts it because He appears to us, we believe. When you walk across the rope bridge over a ravine or something, do you get out your math and try to figure out, is the rope thick enough, strong enough? Or are you just, okay, it looks solid. I'm comfortable, I'll go across it. That's usually the case, right? You drive your car across a highway bridge. You realize I'm going to get to the other side. You have faith just because you look at the bridge and you realize that will hold me. It's the same way with the Lord. We look at Him, we realize He will hold us.
Amen.
He will hold us. When we see Him, we just can't help but believe.
Amen.
When we see Him in the Word, when we see His attributes, all those marvelous attributes of the loveliness of the Lord. And He's the perfecter, the author, the perfecter, the beginning and the perfecter. So brothers and sisters, we need to stay under His appearing.
Amen.
Stay in His appearing.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 3. Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. Amen. You know, Moses, after the incident with the golden calf, Moses moved his tent outside the camp. Outside the camp. And he went back up again to the mountain. And let's read A together. through God speaking to Moses during his lengthy stay with God. Moses was thoroughly infused with God and saturated with Him. As a result, Moses' face shone. So this was the second time Moses went up. Moses went back up and came back and his face shone. And why? Because he spent time with God. When we spend time with... We know what it looks like when someone has an ugly face and a happy face, right? Usually we spend time with the Lord, our face is happy. Is that right?
Yeah.
We spend time with the Lord, we get infused with the Lord. We're enjoying the Lord. And we're just full of enjoyment. We're just full of joy. And that joy is contagious. And others call it shiny. But if we don't spend time with the Lord, then maybe others give us a wide berth, huh? Stay away from us a little bit. But Moses' face shone because he spent so much time with the Lord. We want to be like that. When we spend time with the Lord, we get infused. We get infused with the Lord. Okay, let's read. We read A. Let's read 1. If we would shine forth God, I'm with Him. And not to do something, but to have Him transfused into our being. So we need to be those that have the Lord transfused into our being. And by spending time with the Lord. Okay, let's read 2 together. The highest profession on earth is to spend time being infused with God, that we may shine forth God. Highest profession on the earth. But you know what the enemy does? He tries to give us vision. Oh, I need an internship every summer. Because I need to get this great job when I finish. And so what happens is the young people, they're not nearly as able anymore to go to the college trainings, go to the summer school of truth, serve in the summer school of truth, or go to the semi-annual training in the summer because of internships. Even after the freshman year, I got to get my internship.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be this way.
Right.
This is Satan's new tactic. I'm going to call it what it is. It's Satan's new tactic to get the young people of today's age occupied so they're not free to worship God. Eventually, the children of Israel were freed from Pharaoh, who was occupying them, more bricks and less straw. That's exactly what Pharaoh is doing today. More bricks, less straw. Oh, you need internships. You need more internships. You don't need these interns. We don't need, maybe one in 4 years is fine. God is God. God is God. He can give you the job He wants you to have. You don't need to go after all these internships to be that well prepared. I wish I had time to give you, because I had a career in business consulting for a number of years. And actually, I never tried to have it. I made choices that should have destroyed it, but instead, it just grew. Well, I can't explain that, but anyway. But eventually, when I was at the top, I was a consultant to other consultants. The Lord said, "Leave it." That was the Lord. The Lord said, "Leave it." And I don't have time to go into the. I didn't. It wasn't in an instant. I'll be honest with you. It was a 2-year process. But the Lord was appearing during those 2 years.
Yeah.
The Lord was appearing.
Amen.
So I left that position of international business consultant, and working with major companies like Kia, Samsung, and others, as a project manager for major projects within them. And the Lord said, "Okay, you've done enough helping companies get better. Time to build the body of Christ." Hallelujah! So I wish, you know, but it's by God's appearing. So he may give you a career and then say leave it.
Right.
He may not give you a career.
Right.
He may say go full time right away.
Yes. Yes.
The point is, it's what God is doing.
Right.
It's what God is doing.
Right.
But don't get sucked into the point that I need to have an internship every summer.
Yeah.
Give your summers to the Lord. You realize never again are you going to have 3 months off in the summer. Never again will you have a 3 month summer vacation, except during these college years. These are your golden years. Use them. Use them to pursue the Lord. Use them for internships with the church, with the saints. You know, most of the campus laborers have an internship. This is the type of internship you want to have. This is what builds the body of Christ. Wasn't it enjoyable going out on the gospel these couple days?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to spend your summer doing that?
Yeah.
Isn't that a precious way to spend your summer?
Yeah.
That's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord wants his young people doing. Yes, we need to, you know, we need to take care of certain matters. I'll just give you one experience. I was given a new assignment to present a certain amount of statistical material. At a new group of people, and the material was new to me, and I was wrestling with it, and I just couldn't seem to get it down. I would study and study and study, and it just seemed to be a cloud. This wasn't coming together. So there was a conference meeting in Chicago that night. Says, well, I'm not getting anywhere studying, so I'm just going to go enjoy the Lord in the conference.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
And this is not a miracle, but it should be a common experience. When you enjoy the Lord, your mind gets refreshed
and
rested.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the pieces that were all there came together. This should be a common experience among us. It really should be. You know, eventually, you need to do the prep work. You need to do the prep work, but then you realize I need to spend time with the Lord. And you need to know and learn the balance. You need to learn the balance. And I've had other situations, a number of them, where I chose to seek first the kingdom. Seemingly, I was turning my back on an opportunity, but the opportunity came back in another way. And I don't have time to explain or share some of the situations, but we need to seek first the kingdom.
Yeah.
We don't need all the internships. One in your four college years is fine. Give the other three college summers to the Lord's recovery.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Satan would have us think, oh, those who get the internships get the good jobs. Well, maybe we don't want those good jobs. Maybe they want the right job. I always follow the rule, take the job that is best for the church life. I always did that. I took the job that was best for the church life. One time someone offered me a job, better paying, and I just didn't have the peace for it. So I didn't take it. I took a job at a different place. Later on, that company that offered me that job went bankrupt. So follow the Lord in your spirit.
Amen.
Follow the appearing of the Lord.
Amen.
He is the one. He is the one who guides and leads and takes care of us. Now, the interesting thing about this time with Moses, if you look at chapter 34 and the surrounding verses, the Lord spoke to Moses not just about the Ten Commandments, but about feasting and eating with him.
Right.
34:18, Feast of Unleavened Bread. 34:22, Feast of the Weeks and Feast of Ingathering. 34:25, Feast of the Passover. So what does God want? He wants us to feast with him.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments showed us who God was, but how do we take care of the Ten Commandments? We feast with God. So we need to be those feasting with the Lord, taking care of the Lord, and going for the highest profession on the earth. Being infused with God. Being infused with God. You know, after I made the decision to go full time, that I, you know, would stop. I've been roaming through China, getting ready to set up a business venture with another company there, and it wasn't going quite. I realized, you know, the Lord is not in this, doing this. Just not doing it. The model that worked in Korea was not going to work in China, and I just didn't feel the peace, and felt, you know, the Lord's leading me in a different direction, full time. And right after that, I can't tell you how many phone calls I got from different people. I got one from one of the top consulting agencies in the world to work with them. Like, they saw my website and said, we'd like to join with you to do work in the Far East. But at that point, I said, sorry, it's over. Yeah. I'm done. I've left. No looking back. No looking back. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I had consulting friends who would call me up and say, hey, would you like to play a little bit with some numbers? And why don't you just do a little bit of work for us on the side? I know what happens when you do that. There is no little bit of work on the side. It sucks you in. I say, no, thank you. One of them was actually even working with Kraft Foods here in Champaign. And I said, no, thank you. So, no is no.
Yeah.
Yes is yes. We need to serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our love. And he'll take care of our career. If he wants us to have one, we'll have it. If he doesn't want us to have one, we won't have it. Okay? And he may have it. We may have it for a while. And it may be very much of the Lord for a while. I had the total peace for all the years I was consulting until the Lord said, that's enough. That's enough. And amen. That's enough is enough. When the Lord says it's enough, brothers and sisters, it's enough.
Yeah.
So we need to be those who see and behold God face to face. Early in the morning. Exodus, yeah, it looks like, I think it's 24:3. Make sure I got the right verse here. No, 34:3. Yeah, it's 34:3. And no one shall come up with you. This is the Lord calling Moses back up the mountain. And no one shall come up with you, nor let anyone be seen anywhere on the mountain. Nor let the flocks or herds gaze in front of that mountain. Brothers and sisters, when we come to the Lord, we got to let everything else go.
Amen.
Let it all behind. Don't come to Him with all kinds of stuff. We want to behold Him face to face early in the morning.
Amen.
What time in the morning?
Early.
What time in the morning?
Early.
Early in the morning. This really, we talk about this again and again. But until this gets through to us, we're going to limp along. Our Christian life is going to limp along. Until this matter of getting with the Lord early in the morning to see Him face to face and let Him speak through His Word.
Amen.
And so these morning revival times, so they're so key. Many times the students will tell us after training, we've had all these high words. They say, you know, the most precious thing to me was the morning revival fellowship. Brothers and sisters, we need to take action. Those who know their God will show strength and take action.
Yeah.
Take action. Take action to get up early in the morning to spend time with Him. Because He'll infuse Himself. And again, it's by His appearing, but help Him out. Go to bed early.
Amen.
Give Him a helping hand. Go to bed early. Okay, let's read. Okay, also find a place where you can find the Lord, where you're not interrupted. A place where you can spend time and just find the Lord. You need a place like that. And it may be walking, it may be pacing. Sometimes I like to walk, sometimes I just like to sit. But you need to find what works for you physically, a physical location. It's not going to be driving to work in the morning. Someone once told me, I have my morning watch in the shower and on the way to work. Okay, that brothers and sisters, that doesn't count. Well, any call on the Lord counts for a little bit, but that's really not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about solid time with the Lord. We can speak to us, and we can enjoy Him, and we spend time with Him in His Word. Okay, let's read point one together. When on the next page. Sorry, maybe did I read? We read B, maybe not. Okay, let's read B first. Moses received an infusion through God speaking to him. Amen. So God spoke. Moses got infused. His face shone. He talked about feasting. We need to be those who talk to the Lord. Lord, I want to feast on you. Okay, one. When we meet the Lord alone early in the morning, we should speak too much. Rather, we should let God speak to us. Let Him speak to us through the Word. Go slowly through the Word. Be quiet. Let the Lord speak. Abraham, let the Lord speak when he came. Eventually, it was a conversation between Abraham and the Lord. But we need to linger with the Lord. We need to linger with the Lord. Let Him speak. Okay, let's read two together. Through the Word, we can enjoy the shining of God's face so that we can glow with Him for His glory. Glow with Him for His glory. Glory is God shining. So when He shines, we see His glory. And we see that glory in the Word. Okay, Moses. Moses had an open face to converse with God. He conversed with God face to face. Okay, one. An open face is a heart that has been turned to the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When the heart turns, the veil is taken away. You know, very early in my Christian life, I learned this simple prayer. Lord, I turn my heart to You. Amen. You want to know how to pray all day? Lord, I turn my heart to You.
Amen.
It's got all the right elements. It's got the Lord's name, Lord. Amen. It's got some action on our part. I turn my heart.
Amen.
And what's the object? To You.
Amen.
So just pray that. Pray that prayer all the time. Whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it. Lord, I turn my heart. It will change your day.
Yeah.
It will change your day. You don't feel like it? Pray it. You feel like it? Pray it all the more. Lord, I turn my heart to You. Okay, let's read point two together. To have an unveiled face means that there is no indifference in our heart toward the Lord or His Word. As long as there is indifference in our heart, there will be a veil on our face. No indifference. Remember that word Brother Danny read to us this morning about Emmy Barber? She was always hungry. Always hungry. She was not indifferent. She was not indifferent to the Word, not indifferent to the Lord. She was always hungry. So we need to pray, Lord, constantly make me hungry. Lord, I want to constantly be hungry. Hungry for You. Hungry to see Your beauty. Hungry to see Your glory. Hungry for You to speak to me. Hungry for You to dispense Yourself into me. Hungry for You to grow in me. Okay, let's read Romans 4 together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne. Hallelujah. You know, the first five chapters, Isaiah had been complaining to the Lord how pitiful the situation in Israel was. And all of a sudden, he saw the Lord. He looked up. Brothers and sisters, always look up.
Amen.
Don't look down. Don't look around. Don't look within. There's nothing good inside, so don't look there. Don't look look around. Don't look to the brother to the left or the brother to the right or the sister to the left or the sister to the right. In the natural man, there's nothing good there either. Only Christ is good there.
Amen.
So see Christ. See Christ in the saints. Lord, just pray this all the time. Lord, I want to see Christ in the saints. Lord, show me Christ in the saints. And pray all the time. Lord, I want to be a supply to the body.
Amen.
You know, when I'm going through my roughest times, there's really a twofold prayer I pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to gain today's portion of growth in life and today's portion of grace. That's the personal side. The other side is, Lord, I want to be a supply to the body today. I want to supply the body today.
Amen.
And so that, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how deep the offense is, that lifts me out of it. Lord, I want to supply the body today. That takes it the situation away from myself to the body, to the Lord's purpose.
Amen.
So we need to be those who look away to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, A. The one who appeared to Isaiah in his disappointment over the condition of the children of Israel was Christ the Lord, the King, Jehovah of hosts. The Lord Jesus is the very God, Jehovah of hosts, whose glory Isaiah saw. Amen. Okay, one. No matter what the situation might be on earth, Christ is still on the throne. Where is Christ? On the throne. He is still on the throne. Whatever the situation is on the earth, in my personal universe, in the universe of the church, the churches, or the world, Christ is on the throne. He is God being God. Okay, two. On this earth, everything changes and fluctuates, but Christ remains the same today and forever. Hence, we should not look down at the situation on earth, but should look up to Christ on the throne. That's where we have set our eyes, looking away unto Jesus.
Amen.
Then B. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, "Woe is me, for I am finished, for I am a man of unclean lips. In the midst of a people of unclean lips I dwell. Yet my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." So when we see the Lord, we should be humble. Job was humble. Job no longer thought he was gold. Isaiah was humble. Paul was humble. Paul was very humble. So when we see the Lord, we should be humbled. Okay, let's read one. Everyone who truly sees the vision of the Lord in His glory is enlightened in his conscience regarding his uncleanness. Two. The more we see the Lord and are exposed, the more we are cleansed. So the Lord cleansed Isaiah with a coal on his lips. So we see the Lord, we're humbled, we're cleansed.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
The Lord never leaves us in a low state.
Amen.
He may shine on us, we may feel humbled, then He lifts us up.
Amen.
He revives us.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
See, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me! Here I am, send me!" This was Isaiah's response. Isaiah's response to the Lord. You know, when we see the Lord, you know, He may be speaking to us about going to Germany, about being a student over there. He may be appearing to us. It may take several appearings. But all of a sudden we may find ourselves in Germany. He may be appearing to us about going to the full-time training. And it may take several appearings. There may be one appearing this week. Maybe another appearing at another time. Another appearing at another time. But all of a sudden, wow, I'm at the full-time training. The Lord has a way of bringing these things about. He has a way. It's through his appearing.
Amen.
Through the Lord's appearing and infusing himself into us.
Amen.
We just fall in love with him and realize, you know, this is what I'm going to do.
Amen.
He renews our mind. We begin to think like he thinks. Okay, let's read the focus. We need to progress from knowing God by the hearing of the ear to seeing and gaining him. We need to experience the appearing of the God of glory. We need to daily behold God and receive his speaking in his word. We need to see the Lord on the throne in order to be enlightened, cleansed, and commissioned by him for his move on earth. So, remember, seeing God equals gaining God.
Amen.
If we see him, we see his glory. It's infused into us, and we gain him. He makes his home in our heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray two by two.